Welcome to Good Hope Through Grace. Welcome again to Good Hope Through Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. I'd like to call your attention this evening to the book of Matthew chapter 16. This is where tonight's Bible study is going to begin at. Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to move down into chapter 17 and go through verse 1 through verse 8. Now, we're going to give this message an entitlement of the Mount of Transfiguration. The Mount of Transfiguration. On this occasion, Jesus is going to take three of his disciples up to a high mountain, and he's going to let his glory shine through. And that's what we're going to focus on this evening. A lot of great lessons in this study today. So I pray that the Lord would bless you with it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 28 is where we're going to begin. It says, "Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Now, this is a statement that if you think about it, it really can be kind of confusing because he's addressing the disciples. If you look back in verse 24, it says, "Then Jesus said unto his disciples," so he's addressing the disciples, and he's telling them that some of them that were standing there before him that day would not die until they would see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now, it's obvious that the Lord hadn't came in his kingdom yet. We're still waiting on Jesus to come again. So what did he mean by that some of them standing there would see him, see the Son of Man, coming in his kingdom? What did he mean by that? Well, I think that's what the Mount of Transfiguration is all about. I think the fulfillment of the prophecy that he gave in verse 28 would be fulfilled 6 days later when he took Peter, James, and John up into a high mountain, and then he was transfigured before them. Now, I think what the Lord Jesus was doing was giving them a picture of the second coming, a picture of how it would be whenever Jesus would indeed one day come again. So let's go ahead and look at this. Let's go ahead and begin now. We move down into chapter 17. We've noticed the prophecy. There be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This was addressed to his disciples. Now we're going to see the fulfillment. Verse 1, "After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter and James and John, his brother." Now, when we read this particular text, we'll notice that three of the 12 disciples are mentioned. And I believe that is the sum of them that was talking about in verse 28. When we read, "Some of you," or "there be some standing here which shall not taste of death," I think that's referring to this event. And it's referring to him taking Peter, James, and John up into this high mountain. This was who it was speaking of whenever he gave the prophecy. Now, Peter, James, and John seemed to have formed a kind of inner circle of the 12. Whenever he raised Jairus' daughter, he took Peter, James, and John in with him whenever he raised her from the dead. Whenever he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, he took Peter, James, and John with him. So on this occasion, he does the same thing, and they would be given the privilege, I believe, of seeing a picture, an illustration of the second coming. Well, it says in verse 2, "And he was transfigured before them." He assumed another appearance. In other words, what happened is from inside, his glory began to shine through to the outside. And it says that his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as snow. What a glorious appearance this is before the apostles this particular day. He began to shine as the sun, it says. Now, when you look in the book of Revelations, whenever it talks about the New Jerusalem, in the book of Revelations chapter 21, and it talks about the light of New Jerusalem. I think this is an interesting thing to notice. It says in Revelation 21, verse 22, it says, I saw no temple therein. This is talking about New Jerusalem. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And it goes on to say, and the city didn't have no need of the sun nor the moon. Of course, the sun and the moon is where we get our light. So it says, this city, this New Jerusalem, this city of the living God, which is our city, which is our heavenly home, it says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So here we see that the Lamb one day will be the light, and here on the Mount of Transfiguration, His glory shines through, and it says He did shine as the sun. Now, certainly Jesus did have a human body. He took flesh. It's when He was born in Bethlehem. But you got to never forget who He was. Jesus was God in the flesh. He wasn't just man. He was also God. He wore a human body. He wore a human body. He took flesh so that He could keep the law 100% and then go to Calvary and then pay our sin debt. But my friend, never lose sight of who He was. Look at the Gospel of John chapter 1. Says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So you can't lose sight of who He was. The Word was God. Then it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So the one that was with God and was God, the one that was made flesh is Jesus Christ. He was and is God. Now, my friends, that's an interesting study, is it not, when you look at it? So He lets this glory shine through. And the disciples here on this particular day was going to get to see this wonderful display of the glory of Jesus Christ. Now, let's notice on. And behold, we need to go ahead and look at the visitors here this particular day. There's two visitors appears with the Lord Jesus. And one's name is Moses. We know him from the Old Testament and the New Testament writings. Behold, there appeared to him Moses and Elijah talking with him. Two heavenly visitors, I believe. And they come and they appear with the Lord Jesus. Now, we notice, first of all, that He appears in glory, as we've already pointed out. Now, when Jesus comes again, He's coming in power and great glory. And remember, He's showing a picture to them on this mountain. He's showing a picture to them of what it was going to be like when He comes in His kingdom. And He's coming in His glory. That's why He lets His glory shine through here. That's how it'll be whenever Jesus comes again. But then He has two visitors with Him here, Moses and Elijah. And I think this also speaks of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ whenever He comes again. We're waiting on Him to come, are we not? What a glorious day that will be when the King comes again to get His people. Now, notice what it says, Moses and Elijah. Now, Moses and Elijah have some things in common, but we want to point out here just a little bit what they don't have in common. Moses and Elijah, of course, were great prophets. I mean, when you talked about the history of Israel, the prophets Moses and Elijah were prominent Jews from the past. They really looked up to them. Of course, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, also called the books of Moses. Elijah, of course, the prophet, is the scriptures are filled with the deeds that he did when he walked this planet. But they were prophets of God. They were both men of God, mighty men of God. The Lord used them greatly here on this earth. But there's one thing that's different about these two men. Moses died. Elijah was taken directly to heaven. Elijah was one of two men, him and Enoch, or Enoch, ever how you want to pronounce it. But Elijah never died. But Moses did die. That was the difference between the two. Now remember, I believe the Mount of Transfiguration, the Lord is painting a picture for these three of how it's going to be when Jesus comes again. When Jesus comes again, He's coming in glory. But also when Jesus comes again, He's going to be bringing people with Him. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, a text which talks and speaks very popular text of Scripture of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what it says. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, "For I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." The idea of asleep means that they have died. Spirit have left their body. And when a body that doesn't have the Spirit, it appears to be sleeping, but the Spirit moves on. And, of course, if the person is born again, if they've trusted the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, then their spirit departs to be with Christ. But their body appears to be sleeping, but soul doesn't sleep. "That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Now, this is talking about whenever someone passes, someone in your family passes, if they knew the Lord, if they knew Christ as their Savior, then there is hope. Those that have no hope is those that die and didn't trust Jesus as their Savior. You have the hope of seeing them again that knew Christ. You have the hope that they're in heaven. And, of course, the word hope means you have the expectation that they are in heaven. Verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him." So we're waiting on Jesus to come again. And when Jesus comes again, those that sleep in Jesus, those that have died and whose souls have departed to be with Jesus, those that are in heaven with Christ today, when Jesus comes again, he's going to bring them with him. Well, that's who Moses represents here in the text. Moses represents those saints when Jesus comes again. He represents them here at the Mount of Transfiguration. He represents those that have died in Christ. And when Jesus comes again, he's bringing them with him in the clouds of heaven. He's not coming back by himself. He's going to empty heaven. All the saints of God will come back with him, and then they will receive a resurrected body on that particular day. Let me go ahead and mention that. 1 Thessalonians 4, it says in verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Body will come forth. The spirit will be reunited with the body, and they will be standing in the clouds of heaven. That's called the resurrection of the just. Moses pictures those at this particular time at the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember, some of them standing there would not die till they saw the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. I believe it's a picture of his coming. That's the reason why his glory shined through. He shined as the sun, the text says, and with him was Moses and Elijah. Moses died. That's how he's different from Elijah. Moses died. And when Jesus comes again, he's bringing those that have died in Christ, he's bringing them with him. Now, Elijah, as we've already pointed out, represents those that has never died. Elijah, of course, he was translated. He was taken by a whirlwind into heaven, the Old Testament scriptures teach us. And I think it's very interesting to see you have one of the prophets died, one of the prophets did not die. And it's a picture of the second coming. There's another group of people when Jesus comes. There's the group that's in heaven today. If Jesus would come before this broadcast, there's part of the family, I guess you could say. There are part of the families in heaven. The other part of the family of God's here on earth. And when Jesus comes again, he's going to gather the whole family together in the clouds of heaven. That's going to be the happy reunion day. We look forward to that day coming. And here in this text, that's what Moses and Elijah pictures. Elijah pictures those that have never died and will never die. The book of, we're going to read two texts. We're going to read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in 1 Corinthians 15, it deals with this. It says, 1 Corinthians 15, in the verse 51, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." That means not everyone's going to die. We just talked about the saints that do die. Their spirits departs to be with Christ. When Paul spoke of his death in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he said to be absent from the body was to be present. with the Lord. And that's a very important thing to remember whenever a person does indeed pass. When they know the Lord, that's where they go to. Actually, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me give you the right verse. I don't want to quote the wrong one. Sometimes you do because you're human. But it says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8. Let me go ahead and read it for you. We are confident. I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body. That's when your spirit leaves your body. And then it says, and to be present with the Lord. Your spirit goes to be with the Lord, but your body will go to the grave. Well, when Jesus comes again, those that are sleeping in Jesus, meaning they have died, their body appears to be sleeping. It goes back to the dust from which it came. Their spirit's with the Lord. They're still living. They're just living in a whole lot better place, still existing, and they're waiting the day when Jesus will come, and he's going to come in the clouds of heaven, as 1 Thessalonians 4 said, and he's going to bring them with him, and they're going to get a new body. Okay? Now, 1 Corinthians 15 said, we shall not all sleep. We're not all going to die. We're not all going to experience physical death. Isn't that something? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be like Elijah? And not to ever die. Not to ever die. Not everyone's going to. There's going to come a day when Jesus is going to come with the trump of God and the voice of the archangel. And he's going to not only cause the resurrection of the saved to happen, and he not only is he going to bring their souls back with him, but he's also going to take those which are alive and remain. He's going to bring them home to be with him too. It says in verse 51, behold, to show you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we'll all be changed. We'll all be changed. We're all going to get a new body. It says in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, that's the last trump before the saved. Book of Revelation talks about different trumpet judgments, but those are judgment trumpets for the lost. This trumpet is for the calling of assembly. It's for the calling home of the people of God. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, talking about our body, we have a corruptible body, must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. This old mortal body is going to be, we're going to have a body that's immortal. That means it's going to be death proof. It's not going to get old. It's not going to die. It's not going to age. Well, that's the body we're going to receive. Well, disciples got to see a picture of what the second coming was going to be like. Jesus was going to appear in his glory. That's why on this day he let his glory shine through. But also, he's going to appear, when he appears again, there's going to be two different groups of people. There's going to be those that are in heaven today. Their spirits are there. He's going to come and bring them with him. Moses represents them. But then there's also a second group of people, and they are going to be raptured. And that speaks of in the book of 1 Thessalonians 4. I was going to read that a little while ago. Let me go ahead and read that now. We read earlier this text, but let's go ahead and talk about those. This second group represented by Elijah. Elijah never died. Let's go ahead and read 16 and 17 again. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He's coming with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, here's the second group. This is the group that's represented by Elijah. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. They will be caught out of here. With them, we'll be caught up together with them. With who? We'll be caught up together with Jesus and all of the saints that have passed on before him. We'll be caught up. If that would happen today, Jesus would come back. He would bring the saints with him that have died in Jesus. They'll be standing in the clouds of heaven with a new body. Then we would be caught out. After that happens, we would be caught out. And we would be with them in the clouds. And my friend, that's a happy reunion day. That's the day we're looking forward to. You know, see what else it says? We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. See? Well, Elijah pictures those saints that will never die. Moses pictures those saints which have died. You see the picture? Remember, he prophesied some of them standing there would not see death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. And see a picture of it. And that was fulfilled 6 days after Jesus made it, when He took Peter, James, and John to a high mountain and give them a picture of the second coming. What it's going to be like. Verse 4. Then answered, let me go ahead back to Matthew 17 and verse 4. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles. That's like three tents, booths. The Feast of Tabernacles was the Feast of Booths, or the Feast, they made little shelters there in Jerusalem, and they remembered when they were in the wilderness. And the word tabernacle here just simply refers basically a tent, or like one of them little shelters. It's he wanted to make a little shelter for Jesus and Moses and Elijah. And while he yet spake, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Now, let me say one thing. If you read the text, let me go to the book of Luke chapter 9. Look at Luke chapter 9, you get a little bit more. Sometimes you can look at the harmony of the Gospels and you can pick up a little bit more. It says, let me read the statement about what Peter said. It says, verse 33, it came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. In other words, what he said really wasn't something that really someone from heaven would want to do. You know what I mean? I mean, someone that just came from paradise wouldn't want to live here on earth in a tent, would they? Now, I really like that statement there for several reasons, but the main reason I want to share with you, those that have gone on to heaven before us, they wouldn't want to come back and live here. In this old sinful world, there one of these days we're going to come back and live here on a new heaven and then on a new earth. That's going to happen one day. But they wouldn't want to come back and live here. That's why the text in Luke 9 says he didn't understand fully what he said. He never really probably thought about what he said. And we've done that ourselves before. We've said things without thinking. And I think that's what he did here. Someone that's in eternity, Someone that's in paradise, they're not going to want to come here and live in a tent. They're not going to want to come here and live in one of those little huts. But you know what? One thing for you want to mention for Peter, he didn't want this situation to end, did he? He wanted this to continue on. This was a glorious sight to behold. He mentioned it when Simon Peter wrote the book of actually Jesus. They were to mention this till at a later time. As a matter of fact, Jesus told them in verse 9 that they were to tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man was risen. So they weren't to share this, what they saw, till after Jesus resurrected from the dead. But Simon Peter recorded it. He talked about it when he wrote the epistle of 2 Peter. He mentioned what he saw on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now let me go ahead and read that to you. It says in verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. He's saying we're not following stories when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, Peter is speaking of Jesus coming. He's seen a picture of Jesus coming. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. You see? Peter understood that it was a picture of the second coming, and he was an eyewitness of how it's going to be. So, my friends, Peter understood this to be a picture of the second coming, and he mentions it in the book of 2 Peter. All right, let's go ahead and begin. We're running out of time, but I hope you see the picture here. It's a glorious picture of the second coming. It helps that verse make more sense. Peter, James, and John never died till they seen the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. They seen a picture of it, of how it would be. Peter understands it so, because that's what he said in the book of 2 Peter when he mentioned the second coming and that he was an eyewitness of it. Now, verse 5 says, while yet speak, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Well, the Holy Father, the Blessed Holy Father mentioned here that Jesus was his beloved Son. Or beloved means dearly loved. Dearly loved. Now you think, dearly loved, but yet he sent him to this earth to suffer and to be beaten and bruised and crucified to save such sinners as us from our sin. Oh my, what a grace and mercy that he has bestowed upon us. This is my beloved Son. Now he said, in whom I'm well pleased. He's well pleased in his Son. And my friend, if you're going to be accepted with God, you have to be accepted through the beloved, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, or you won't be accepted. If Jesus would come today for you, for him to be coming back to get you, if the trump of God would sound right now before this broadcast is done, for you to go to be with him, you have to receive that he died on the cross for you and rose again the third day. You are accepted only in him. Let me read a text in Ephesians 1 as we begin to close. It says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, it says, he's made us accepted. He's made us accepted in the beloved. Now, who is the beloved? The beloved is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are accepted in him. And my friend, that's the only place you can be accepted. You can't be accepted outside of him. That's the reason why the Apostle Paul said in the book of Philippians chapter 3 that he wanted to be found in him, not having his own righteousness, which is by the law, but the righteousness which comes by faith in Jesus Christ. You want to be accepted? You have to be accepted in the beloved. And to be accepted, you got to receive the beloved, the Lord Jesus, as your Savior. Well, my friend, may God add his blessings this evening. As we draw now to a close of this another radio broadcast, I hope that you see the picture of the second coming in this text. It's a picture of it. And I pray that you are, as a man, as a woman, prepared for it. And if you're not, right now, by your radio, if you'll call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and ask him to save your soul, trust that he died on Calvary for you and rose again the third day, my friend, he'll wash you clean from your sins, give you everlasting life. And if he would come tonight, one of the people he would be coming for would be for you. May God add his blessings to his word.
That will conclude this week's Good Hope Through Grace. We want to ask you to join us again next week at 7:30 on Monday evening, or you can join us anytime on the web at www.ghtg.org. Good Hope Through Grace is sponsored by the Elizabeth Baptist Church, P.O. Box 75, Bancroft, West Virginia, 25011.